date stamp for tonight is June 5th, 2024. So take it away, Pop.
Okay. It's a roll. You know, the date we was looking for the other day, I had the wrong Bible with me. Oh, Lord. Okay. We couldn't get it to work.
Yeah.
We were looking for where I stopped at on the last study. And so I said, well, I wrote it down, and we couldn't find it in my notes or anywhere. And so I opened it up a while ago, and I brought my old Bible with me, and I was using the old one. And so here was the date. I had it marked out in the Bible. And
so you outsmarted yourself, didn't you?
So here we are. But we had found where I'd stopped. So
in a Bible, but not the Bible, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to look at, again, at Acts 14 and see if we can complete the chapter here. And so I'll go ahead and get started. And I'm going to start with Acts 14. I'm going to start with, I'll just say 16. Because we had made it down through 16, but I'll just go ahead and read it out of the King James Version. It said, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways? And said, and it was dealing with that God had always preached to them, and he never left himself without witness, and that's where we're going to pick up. He said, nevertheless, in verse 17, and I'll go ahead and read it in the King James Version. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And this was the guys that Paul and Barnabas had went to after they had healed this man, and they were preaching and teaching there. And it just dawned on them that, man, these guys had power, and had power that was like the gods that they were using in their temple worship, that had come down, evidently had come down from heaven, and it must have been angelic beings come there for them at some time or other before. And so the healing deal and all, and they wanted to make sacrifice to them. And this was the reason why they were there. I mean, not just to heal the man, but they had healed the guy, and he had never walked. He had been impotent in his feet from the time he was born. He was not able to get around on his own. He had to have help, the people to help him get around. He was probably there asking for alms. And whenever they healed him, he just jumped up, and they said, stand up. And he leaped up and started walking. He'd never walked a step in his life.
When the Lord healed him, not only did he heal him, but he taught him how to walk all at the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And
they got the healing and the knowledge.
And so these people said, oh, these guys are gods, the little gods that you read in the Scripture. From that have come down to us again. And, we'll do sacrifices to you. And no, you're not going to do that. We're just people like you are. And so this is what got them where they were. Nevertheless, as yet, he says, but he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, and fruit-bearing seasons, filling or satisfying our hearts with food and gladness. And that gladness there is a medical term because we were getting close to the time that Luke was with him, I think, there. But Luke had not made it known through his scriptural writings that he had any great thing to do with him, but they were using medical terms here that said, well, you know, Dr. Luke was there. Or they probably wouldn't have known the medical term to use. And the medical term in the prepositions there is empiplema. And that was the Greek word for gladness, as it got involved in the English version. Okay. Then we get to verse 18, and it says, and with these sayings, the literal sayings of these things, scarce or with difficulty, the Greek word for difficulty there is mos, restrained, made to cease. Let me just read it as the Bible is said. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they was all whipped up about not being able to do sacrifice to them. None of the teaching that Paul and Barnabas was doing at that particular minute was helping the situation any. And so that was the reason why the uproar got involved. And then we'll read verse 19. And it said, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and that's the two towns that they have just left, having preached to them for a while. And it said, they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. And they were in Derbe now. This was the third city that they had went to after they had left Antioch. And so these people come down, and they were already following Paul and Barnabas. They'd done drove them out of their city, but they were following them to the next place and said, look, guys, don't believe these dudes. Don't believe these people. And this was the
thing. That's what they call a white hot hatred, isn't it?
Yeah, and so it became a situation of they just wasn't going to take no for an answer.
They're just dogging them, yeah.
Yeah. And it said, and or but now, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded, and having been persuaded by the Greek, and that word Greek, I believe, is piatho, the people there, and they dragged him out of the town, and having stoned outside, and the Greek word there is exo, of the city, supposing or reckoning now to conclude from the custom of stoning, the law or evidence, and it means to never imagine, but to make sure he, Paul, had been dead. And out of the Greek, it meant dead as was to the fact. And so, the guys that come down there, they were intent on doing him in anyway, so I guess they all joined together, and they did this thing, and they killed Paul. Well, you got to remember now, Paul was not a very nice looking individual, I don't think, because of his eye situation where he had been blinded by the Lord. And so he carried the scars. Listen to this now, to what I'm going to say. He had carried the scars of having been taken and persecuted because of what he was doing against the cause of Christ. And these scars were still there. And if they were going to stone a man, they were going to hit him in the head. This was the ideal way that they would do the stoning, that if you crushed the man's head, he didn't have a chance to live. There was not a chance. So here's what we got into. Okay, these guys have stoned him just outside the city, dirty. And so they turned around. When they got done, they turned around, evidently left, and went back into town. But now Paul's in, the people that was with Paul, those disciples and others that were with Paul, they made a circle around him. And having around him, as it got dark, they prayed. I'm going to read you verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. I don't know if he just kind of stayed in the shadows or not. But it said, and the next day, he departed with Barnabas back through Derbe. Okay? So you get the message here. They left him there to die, but he went back into town, and then he left there the next day, retreating where he had come from because it was necessary. He now carries more scars
than he did before.
If they proved to themselves that they had killed him, they had killed him.
Well, and to your point in verse 19, that word supposing, in the English translation of the Greek word, it almost sounds like, well, they didn't really know if he was dead or not. But in the Greek, that's a poor translation, I believe, because I believe in the Greek it means to conclude from the evidence in front of them.
Yeah.
And yeah. With a stoning was always to the death, to your point.
Yeah.
Last thing they wanted to do was just crush their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, they didn't care if he was covered up with it.
When they got done, he was dead.
He was dead.
Yeah, he was dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it said, howbeit, but now, outside the city of Derbe, as the disciples stood around about or in circles, and that in circle there, that Greek word there is kuklu. He rose up by divine power, and that divine power is anathistami. And I might have not pronounced it right, but that's as good as I can make it. This is the same word as stand to the man in verse 10 whose legs were healed.
He stood up.
He stood up.
Alive.
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 Same word.
Yep.
That by the same power that healed a man that couldn't walk has given Paul his life back
again. Well, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11 where he's telling about all his sufferings. One of the things he said that he was in death's often.
Yeah, okay.
This may be one of several times that ain't recorded.
Yeah. That because we sometimes don't get the whole story.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. They encircled him. He rose up by divine power. This is the same word as stand to the man in verse 10 that was healed. And came unto, back into the city. And the next day, on the morrow, he departed unto EIS. He went. And this Greek preposition is the word EIS. And with Barnabas back to Derbe. And then we're going to read verse 21. In verse 21, and it says this, "And when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra." Now, Lystra is a area. It's not necessarily a town. But it is an area that had Antioch,
Iconium, yeah.
And Derbe there. They went to three places. Now they're going back. Why are they going back? Because this is where the people come from to start the thing up.
This is an in-your-face tour.
He had to go back to show them the scars that he had, because it surely made scars. This was, let me explain this to you. This was a circumcision unto death. Because when you were born and you were male and you were of the Hebrew
nationality,
that you went into the high priest on what was it, the eighth day. And they would hold him up before God and to show God that now you have another being. Another man, child. And the mother could come at that time. But if it was a girl, she couldn't come to the temple for a while, because it wasn't the same thing. But now, he was not going to go out and show his scar where he had been circumcised to anybody, because it wasn't none of their business. But when he got grown, he could show it to his wife. Yeah, I bear the scar of circumcision. And what she could do was she showed him her virginity when they completed the wedding vow. And that was her virginity that she was going to lose, and he would have a bit of blood to show for that. In that sense. Otherwise, if she couldn't at that point or didn't, he could divorce her because she was impure.
Yeah.
At the time. Okay. So we kind of got through that. Now, where'd they get to? Okay. Preach the gospel. They return again to Lystra and to Iconium. And Antioch, that's in verse 21. Okay, he said, "And when they had having preached the gospel, taught to the city, and he had taught many." They believed and made the disciples out of, several. And they returned and epituata returned is the word epituata in the Greek again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Now let's see what 22 had. Now 22 says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So boy, could he ever say that and mean it by now, because he probably didn't look very well. And he probably looked like somebody had been through what we'd call a bad wreck or something like that. Yeah. Okay, it says confirming. And confirming there is epistirazo. It says receiving strength, stereo, the soul, the psyche of the disciples, and exhorting, and that's parakaleo, them to continue. And here's a word that I come up across, and that's E-M-M-E-N-D in the English. And if it's got a D-I in front of it, it means something else. D-I-M-E-N-O. And we'll get to that in a little bit if we can get to the end of the chapter. Okay, in the faith that we must through, and through there is the word D-I-A, which we get the word diameter, much tribulation. And tribulation there is thlipsis in the Greek. And it means afflictions. And enter into or to come within the confines of the kingdom of God. Then we'll look at verse 23. And it said, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and have prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Verse 23. And when they had or having ordained or chosen them, and that's Chariotoneo, elders, and this was normally used of those men who were of or on the Sanhedrin Council. Is what generally that word was used for, because they were under Roman rule, and they had a Sanhedrin Council that God had told Moses to work up, and Moses did, and that there was 80 people on there, and they had a high priest themselves of the Sanhedrin, and he was generally in Rome where the Romans directed the countries that they were in charge over or supplied, because, you know, then the British Empire was growing in leaps and bounds. And so I suppose that they were close enough there to use it as just like they would if they'd have been in Rome. It says in every assembly or church. And Brother Naz is the one that had me going to assemblies rather than church. And had prayed, or having prayed, and that having prayed is prosukumai. I can get that one with fasting. And fasting there is omitting a meal or meals. So they commended, and that Greek is parathathikmai in the Greek, and they commended them to the Lord on, and that word, the little word on, is E-I-S in the Greek, the preposition, whom they believed. And so,
that almost sounds a little bit like what we would call today an ordination.
Yeah.
Like they were ordained to be in the...
Yeah, to be the leaders.
To be the elders.
The elders or the leaders of the group.
Yeah.
But they used the word, the same word that they would have used as the Sanhedrin Council, which was before the Roman people, to if they had any problems with the situation,
kind of the ruling party,
they could iron it out between the two.
They let the Romans let the Jews rule themselves,
yeah,
but under close watch and supervision.
Oh, absolutely. That's where we're
talking. And heavy taxation too.
I mean, to be, because they had been sent there to be taxed.
Yep.
One time when Christ was born.
Yep. To be a subject is not very fun.
No, and it's And it's not cheap. Probably not cheap either. Okay. So, verse 24. Verse 24 says this, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, that is another area rather than, I think, another area rather than a city, they came to Pamphylia. Okay? So they were still on the move, or on the march. They were going back to Antioch where they started from. And nothing wasn't going to stop them to go back there because...
Not even getting stoned.
Well, the people needed to know what Paul had gone through. And this was the reason, because this was better than circumcision.
Yeah.
Okay, for that reason. And it says, and after they had having... And there's a lot of have and had and having use here in these verses of Scripture because they're still on the move. And they're still going from place to place. And they're still preaching and teaching wherever they go. And I'm sure that Paul was having the main audience is there because of his demeanor there and his with his wounds and what he had there, he tell him, you know, this is what you're going to get if you get really involved.
Well, you think about all the scars that guy was carrying. You know, we went through in Galatians.
Yeah.
How weird his eyes must have looked.
Yeah.
Because of the damage. From the light on the Damascus Road. Now he's got all these.
All this other stuff.
Yeah, because you know he's, you know, unless the Lord took away the scars, which I don't see a point in doing.
I can't see a point in that.
Because that's like a badge of courage.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And the word says so when we get down to it in verse 27.
Okay. He had to be looking pretty rough there toward the.
Yeah.
Toward the end.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, gee. And he was the one, and he says, I'm just started. I ain't giving up. You know, I've been chosen for this stuff, guys. And so, when he goes to some of these other places, and he talks about finishing the work that Christ didn't get to do because the Father didn't allow the Son to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He still had the badge of courage there. And so here we go. And after they had or having passed throughout Pisidia, they came unto Pamphylia. Okay, so there was a reason for doing all this. Wherever they had gone, when they got to Derbe and this happened, they turned around and they went right back to where they started. So this first little trip of Paul didn't work out real good. I mean, he took the brunt of the problems there, just like you remember, just like the ones that God chose to be his spokesman in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Man, they all got...
The prophets.
The prophets got done in.
Peter asked them, which of the prophets have you not killed?
Yeah.
You know, they tried to bring you the words of God, and you took them and killed them because you didn't like what you heard.
You didn't like what you heard. Well, that was something... To them, that was something new at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Something new. Okay. And verse 25 is not a very long verse either. And it says, and when they had preached the word in Perga, that's part of Pisidia, I guess, or Pamphylia 1, I'm not sure which one that, I'm not sure which one of them was a city and which one of them was an area. It's sometimes it's hard to know these because they don't tell you the whole situation there. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attila. Attila. Full stop. And that was in 25. And so we'll read that, see what that is. When they had preached or spoken, and the spoken preaching there in the English is Laleo, the word in Perga. And that was the Greek word for preached. He says they went down into Attalia, full stop. And it did have a note there, and it says this Attila was a town on the coast of Pamphylia. So the area there, if you want to mark it or do something in your Bible with it, if you want to, Pamphylia was the area. And these others were the towns there in that.
Yeah, that's one of those good ancient maps.
Yeah.
Of the region that during the Acts period kind of come in handy.
Okay. And it said, and thence, in 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfill. This is where they made the plans and the arrangements to leave there and to go to this, I guess it was a British Isle at that point, because it later became part of the British thing, because it said, you know, in some books somewhere, that the sun never set on the British fully. Nowhere. That they had land where the sun shone
all the time
at different times of the day. But
and incidentally, Chico posted that Perga was the capital of Pamphylia.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
Okay. So we got that. Okay. And thence, from there, sailed, took a boat, or a ship. They may have called it a ship. Away to, or unto, and that's the Greek word, E-I-S, east, unto Antioch, from whence the place they had been recommended or committed, paradidomi. To the grace of God. So there they had been committed by the grace of God. They were given their sailing orders as to where to go.
Commissioned almost, yeah.
Yeah, it was, they looked to the Holy Spirit for direction from that place. And the grace of God for the work which they, Paul and Barnabas, fulfilled. And I wrote in my notes, it says a note on John 19:30 mimic two men that finished the work. And let's go back and look at that. I've got time to do that just a minute. Let's go back to John 19 for just a side view of this. Luke, John. I thought I had it marked off. Probably did, but I moved my notes around a little bit. But in John 19, let me mark my note back there. And we're going to look at John 19, verse 30 is, may not be the whole story, but it will be either the start or part of the story. And I went back there. I'm in the old, my old Bible again, and these pages are okay. Let's go back to 28, John 19:28. Said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed up, and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. This was one man. Paul and Barnabas and a bunch of the others were two men that left Antioch to fulfill work that was to be done for God, but it was more than one man. But the deal was in John, and he wanted to make it plain, that the one man, which was Jesus, went to the cross and took his punishment there and lost his life and gave his blood for you and me and for our sins. And this was one man by himself. Or he became by himself, because
only one qualified to do it.
Only one. Just like when the books were opened in Revelations, there was only one who could do it. And guess what?
He did it.
It was him. It was him. Oh, Lord, what would we do without Christ Jesus?
Amen.
So, I thought that note there was really important, that you see where one man did what it took a bunch of men to do the other way, to get someone to
put it in perspective,
to realize and put it in view as to, if you're doing the work of God, they're going to be after you. Okay? Now, and when I seen the note there, and I said, well, I've got to do that. And I stopped on that because I didn't go to the next verse. Now I know why I didn't go to the next verse. Because it took me a few minutes to get this one going. So I've got 15 minutes. I've got 15 minutes to explain it to you. It may not take 15 minutes to explain it to you. But there are some things there that we may not have seen before. And I'm talking about myself now. Because just like Ronnie has said to begin with, sometimes when we go back over these things, we see things that we might have not seen.
Especially in Acts. Seems like Acts.
It's kind of
always that way.
It's kind of full of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read 27. We got two verses left. And when they had come to Antioch, well, I'll probably go back to my notes to get that, and had gathered the assembly or the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles.
Didn't open the door of the law, opened the door of faith.
The door of faith.
Yep.
You must walk or come to the
by
door
faith.
Of faith.
Not according just to any law, faith. Just by faith.
By yep. faith. Okay. That don't tell it all, but here we go. And when they were, having come, this is, we've read it in several verses back, because they were going from place to place. And the prepositions in the English is dealing with things that point from place to place, time to time, or deed to deed, or whatever, because it is motion from somewhere to some other situation. In all these first syllables of the Greek words that we have tells you that. And if you're not familiar with them, I'm writing mine down and going back over and over and over them. So when I read something and I look at the Greek word, I may not can pronounce it right, but at least I know what the meaning is.
The prefix means it.
To what we're going to try to do. And so I'm trying to get that down for my understanding, whether I can get anybody else to see it that way or not. And when they were having come and having gathered, and gathered there, in my view, is to convene the church or the assembly. So they had a lot to tell them when they went there. Okay, when they were allowed to speak, and certainly they were allowed to speak because these people knew that God had commissioned them to go. Okay? And so, why are they back? And why are they back at this point in time? Was that the only places they were supposed to go to? Well, I don't know. But the reason why they went back, in my view, was to show the scars that Paul now had, new scars.
When it says rehearsed, all that God had done with them, that means they told them the story.
Yeah.
And Paul probably, to your point, said,
here I stand.
Here I am. They killed me and I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been circumcised by death.
Yeah, what a testimony that must have been.
Yeah. And it doesn't say it in the scripture, but he could have said,
yeah,
I was circumcised by death. In other places, he did mention he had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had been in all these perils and things. So this is not the first time nor the last. That it's going to be mentioned. They convened the assembly or the church together. They, those of the company of Paul, were they. They said they there in 27. And when they gathered the church together, they, the people that were in Paul's entourage there, rehearsed, because they were the ones that were eyewitnesses to this thing. And if you were an eyewitness to a stone man being raised from the dead, be something you'd never forget as long as you lived. You never would forget that.
I have to say, I believe that would stay with me.
Yeah. They, those of the company of Paul, rehearsed, called back into mind all that God, or they rehearsed, they called back into mind all that God had told them. They rehearsed and recited. And this word is what I said a while ago, that there was a D-I before the word Anna. Diana. Gelio. Gelo. Diana Gelo. And that means an intervening space. People preaching. So to spread the word far and wide, and the word there, Diana, Jello, means it is something that had set up or set in, that God had made a place for them to come back and to preach this word, and they could be in it for a period of some time. And so the word means a movement in time or a time of passing.
Yeah.
Okay. And the space there was that they had a place set up, or that the word could be set in, and they had done with them all that, or what sooner as how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and that was not going to be a short little thing that he could just tell somebody and walk off and leave it, because he gives you a time period here. And so when God had given them their orders to go, he had already in mind a place for them to come back and to spend some time and to be witness of things that they had done and seen while they were gone to these people, that the word might start spreading.
Think of how that probably edified that group there, though.
I don't know.
Listening to them speak and tell all the things God had done for them and with them.
I believe the Holy Spirit was I believe the Holy Spirit was so great there until I think they kind of maybe felt like they was walking on clouds or something, you know.
Yeah, probably did.
That they were kind of out of the norm of the normal situation that would have been involved there. And let's go ahead and we'll read the last one, because the last little verse, I'm running out of time. But what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So the Gentiles must come to God through faith or by faith. Verse 28. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And a long time there is, and the people that was doing the notes went back, and I'll just read it. And there in Antioch, they abode or dwelled a long time. In the Greek, it is the little word OU. OU. I don't know how to pronounce it. OU, I guess. OU. And it means little time with the disciples. And here they were called disciples. In appendix of CB, in the appendix of the CB says about 2.5 years. They stayed in Antioch. And so I think this spread pretty widely there. I think more people got to understand the Apostle Paul's call here, and that his call, regardless, even if he died, might not be the end of it. And it certainly still is not the end of it even today.
I think they figured out pretty quick that God is going to be using this man until he's done with it.
Yeah, until he's not there anymore. And so that's the situation that we need to take there with our own thoughts and all of our ministry for God, that we're here for the duration.
Amen.
That God will take care of it one way or the other. Everybody, this. If we're not here anymore, then we will be waiting upon the appearing.
Amen.
And so that's where we are, and that is a very good place to kind of leave the study off this time, because I don't know of a better place you could have left.
Amen.
Not in the book.
That was really good, because I never thought about how scarred up he probably was coming out of the stoning.
Well, I didn't think about it when we went through it so much before, because we were going on. We weren't going to stop and think about it.
Yeah.
No, so the full stops here, and the thoughts that we have now and the understanding that we have now didn't register to me right at that particular time. Yeah. Now, boy, it certainly does now.
Amen.
In that situation. So I appreciate you being with us, and I hope to see you in a day or two.
Yep.
But if you're not able to make it, we understand. But yet, it's I hope it's a time that we can hopefully all get together and shake hands and hug necks and say hello and good to see you. And I might ask you where your scar is. Because I'm going to have one shortly if I don't get rid of these kidney stones. It might be more than a scar.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could be.
But it is getting a little better. And I joke about it some, but I have to joke about it to keep from feeling so bad about it, because I kind of had to, instead of getting up doing my work, I'll work a little bit, and then I'll sit down for a while, and then I get up, and then I'll feel bad because I haven't done what I was planning to do.
But
I just couldn't. And my little dog would look up at me. Dolly would look up at me like, "Well, why are you sitting in that chair? You know, why ain't we up doing something?" Because wherever I go, she goes.
Yeah.
And that's the big deal. But now that again is another story in it. And just before my wife passed away, when she was still able to talk a little bit there, those last 23 days, and she couldn't look at me, but she turned her head toward where she could hear my voice, and she said, "Cecil, take care of my dog." And I said, "Honey, I'll do that. As long as me or the dog won this year."
Yeah. You've done good, too.
And so now the dog's 12 years old, or will be in November, 12 years old. But when I'm at home, I don't go anywhere much, and she don't go. And she watches me like a hawk, like I might do something wrong.
Y'all about the same age in doggy years.
Well, yeah, we're close.
Yep.
I keep telling her, I said, "You're an old lady, because I'm an old man." So God bless you, and hope to see you, and praying for the conference, and hope that we all can feel good about doing it, because it's a word. It's the word and the work. It needs to be put out even more so in this day and age than I ever knew before.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.